and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right.
Okay, thank you all for coming tonight.
Mm-hmm.
All of you.
Yeah, all of you. I don't know what we'd do if you didn't come.
Why don't you move around and give the perception of
it. Fell off the whole
artwork.
They're waiting for the show you are.
Don't look at me. I'm your savior.
Okay, let's have a roll call vote for attendance, please.
Director Blair?
Here.
Director Simon?
Here.
Director Mendoza?
Here.
Director
Small? Here. Okay, all directors are here tonight. The first item is the approval of minutes from the September 20th meeting. If everyone has had a chance to review, I entertain a motion that we approve the minutes from the September 20th meeting.
I so move.
Okay, I have a motion by Director Simon. Do I have a second? And a second by Director Mendoza. All those in favor of approving the minutes from September 20th, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Okay, nobody's opposed. Motion opposed. Pass unanimously. Item number two is a public comments period. Yes.
Oh, I just can do a public comment.
Okay.
Limit your presentation to 3 minutes.
Okay. I just remind the board that Jack O'Connell will there'll be a reception host for him by the CSDA. On October 20th, and it will be at the Gardens in Avila Beach. Make sure that gets on your calendars.
What time?
I imagine it's going to be at 6. I don't think that's really been firmed up yet. But
what day is it?
It's a Friday. I think it's a Friday. They're usually on a Friday.
Okay. Zoop's coming this weekend, too, that weekend, too.
That'd be a good mix.
Yeah, I'd pay to see that. Hey, Keith's coming on the
22nd. He's having a physical come?
Well, I think he's coming. There's $100 a plate lunch or $1,000 something else if you want to pony up that much money. But to hear him speak for Andy at Sea Strand in Santa Maria, I think it's on the 22nd.
Andrew's not lying for anything.
He needs the money. He was in a Santa Maria, Faith.
Money for the fund coming up in 1996.
Oh.
Yeah, see? Got all that good stuff in the Santa Maria thing.
We'll have to take that.
Okay, we've noted the Jack O'Connell meeting. Anyone that can make it, we encourage you to do so. And any other public comments, Mr. Carey? Anything? Okay. Board administration, then we'll go on to item number three. This is parcel map CO90139, the dedication of improvements by Bank of Santa Maria. Mr. Jones?
Yeah, Mr. President, the Bank of Santa Maria project has been complete for some time, and this is kind of a catch-up matter. The district has basically accepted the water and sewer lines, and the attached resolution formalizes the acceptance of the water and sewer improvements going in. This is very similar to other subdivisions and tracts that have come in. It's resolution number 95-561.
Okay, and that is entitled the resolution of the Board of Directors of the Pomona Community Services District accepting water and sewer improvements for parcel map CO90139. Is there any board questions or discussions regarding this matter? Any public comments or questions? Okay, and we'll entertain a motion to accept the improvements and adopt resolution 95-561.
Was that stuff televised when the guys accepted? Did you guys do that or not?
I don't know if this one was on TV or not. This came aboard when I just first came up.
Is that where you can tell if it's Suki?
Right. Yeah, all the inspection agreements we have now state that it shall be TV.
Right. Yeah, that's been in place for quite a while. I don't know how long this dates back, but we've been videoing them for a
predates Mr. Johnson. Not birth, but coming to NCSD.
See, at least they distributed. Anyway,
any questions or comments for the ones by board members? Okay. I'm going to take a motion to adopt the resolution and accept the dedication of improvements.
I'll make a motion we adopt resolution 95561.
Okay, I have a motion by Director Fairbanks. Do I have a second? And second by Director Blair. Roll call vote, please.
Mr. Fairbanks?
Yes.
Mr. Blair?
Yes.
Mr. Simon?
Yes.
Mr. Mendoza?
Yes. Okay, resolution passed unanimously. Item number 4 is a tour of district facilities. Mr. Jones.
Yeah, Mr. President, in the past, the board was interested in taking a tour of all the district facilities, and if they wish to set up a time to do this, we can meet and tour the facilities. I initially proposed to be on a Saturday morning sometime, and the next two Saturdays are the 7th and 14th. If the board wants to do any of those times or some other dates, they still may wish to.
I personally can't make it on the 7th. I could make it on the 14th.
I could too.
Does that create a problem for anyone else's availability?
Not for mine. That's either day is fine.
Either day is okay.
I can't make it the 7th either.
Because that's a holiday.
But I can.
Is it? Yeah, she has Columbus Day.
Yeah.
Monday's Columbus Day.
14th.
That's where all your... Okay.
Yes, a week from Saturday. A week from this coming up Saturday.
Valentine's Day is that?
Yeah. Quiet early. It's the right date.
Okay.
For the month, anyway.
Oh, that's right. We are going to that.
On the 7th or 14th?
Okay. Still go. Well,
it'd be drunk. You can have it early in the morning.
What's the time? What do you think of time on?
You can start. You know, it probably takes a couple hours.
Start at
9. Start
9. Break up at noon or something.
9 to 11. 9 to 12. Something like that.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
9 o'clock. Okay, we'll meet here at 9 o'clock on the 14th.
That's good.
Did you just want to have a motion to adjourn this item then to
October 14th.
October 14th at 9 a.m. at the district office.
Okay, let's turn on the motion that we have continue this item till October 14th when we take our tour at 9 a.m. on Saturday.
Okay, I'll make a motion that we adjourn to October 14th at 9 a.m. for this item.
Okay. Can I have a second?
Second.
A second by Director Simon. All those directors in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Nobody's opposed. Okay, motion passed. Item number 5 is the approval of warrants. Here we go. Let's see. Got a big PG&E bill. Yeah.
And lawyers are getting a big chunk of them.
Oh, come
too.
On now.
Why it's somebody?
Lawyers are in attendance.
Is that what is called the power in the juice or what?
No, right down at the bottom.
Right. If everyone's had time to review the warrants, Chair will entertain a motion that we approve the warrants presented at tonight's meeting.
I'll make a motion to approve the warrants presented.
Okay, motion by Director Fairbanks. Do I have a second?
Yeah, I'll second.
Okay, second by Director Mendoza. All directors in favor of approving the warrants, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, nobody's opposed. Motion passed unanimously. Item number 6 is other business. This is our manager's report. Mr. Jones.
Yeah, Mr. President, in your packet enclosed is an article from the California Special District Association newsletter on the commission California Constitutional Revision Commission, which basically voted to do away with special districts. It'd be interesting because there are numerous special districts like Contra Costa County Water District, Irvine Ranch Water District, and also the L.A. Municipal or Water and Power.
Right.
So I'm not sure if he was talking about those districts or not, but it's a broad brush approach.
There's a big push for that. There's a lot of phone calls for it.
You do get a lot of phone calls? Do away with special districts?
Mm-hmm. They like funding. Mm-hmm.
Is that because you have to audit them?
No, I'm just going to go through the phone book looking at her businesses, I think.
What's funny about those, if you read this, you know, whenever they identify a specialized need or something in a community that's not addressed by county-level government, then they're going to form a subsidiary district. I think what's going to happen is you're going to have a proliferation of subsidiary districts and get back to where we're at now.
Yeah, and when I think when Governor Regan was here, he appointed a commission to look into special districts, thinking that they were both very inefficient. And what the report came back was done by a private commission. He found that special districts were one of the most efficient forms of government in the state of California.
And the county should be involved.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Oh, well.
Right away position.
Is that a motion? Okay.
Anyway, and then also encloses a draft outline of a possible element that may be included in the groundwater management plan for the Pomo Mesa. In general conversations from the meetings, two meetings we've had, that there's a question that said, well, what's in this, what are we talking about? And so basically, I drafted up a outline which basically calls like a preamble, which is a description of the basin and whatever can be associated in there, and then creation under what government code would be done,
mm-hmm.
and then the governance of this agency, which is how the managing agency, you know, selects the board of directors and governs, and then the planning area, which would be some map, and then definition, and goals and objectives of the groundwater management agency, and developing some studies and investigations, collecting data, looking at maybe the DWR study, monitoring, so you monitor water levels and determine what the basin conditions are, and projecting of benefits reduces even through their well designed for construction standards, and so that you don't have a contamination of the basin, and then overdrafting the mitigation of water replenishment, developing some type of groundwater replenishment program, possibly using some other source, maybe in the South County Sanitation District, purifying that water and bringing up here for agriculture uses. Water conservation, water transfers. If there are transfers from in and outside the district, someone could be on the east side, want to move water to the west side, that would be reviewed by this agency. Basin quality, avoid contamination, such as the Unical situation. And exemptions, maybe certain types of users could be exempt. The law requires single-family homes are somewhat exempt in this area. And then implementing rules and regulations, adopting a method of changing rules and regulations by the agency, and then coordinating activities with other agencies, and then a dispute resolution procedure.
Yeah, I just make one suggestion, Lewis. I think there's in the heading, just so everybody's clear, in the Pomo Groundwater Management Potential Plan elements, because I think it should be clear to everybody, just because they're on this list,
possible.
They're possible, they're not... every plan doesn't have all these elements, and that's part of the process of what elements are necessary for the plan. So yeah, I think it just might eliminate some confusion that if we have right. a management plan, we have to have all these elements in it.
There's quite a bit of leeway in how the
right.
thing is designed.
Everyone's just, anyway, it's just put together for discussion purposes and people. Because the main thing is what is in a plan, and then try to outline, so this is some concepts in the plan. It can include them all, can include some, can include some other things.
Let's print up some extra copies of these and keep them in the office in case you have discussions on the phone with anyone and they're interested, they can get copies.
Yeah, for the board information on Wednesday, next Wednesday. Wednesday, the San Luis Obispo County Flood Control Water Conservation District Water Resources Advisory Committee is meeting, and they requested input from the district on their groundwater management plan. So I'll make a brief presentation there of what the GMA does. I'll probably submit this as some of the things that need to be included in the groundwater management plan.
When is this meeting going to be?
Next Wednesday. At 1:30 at room C in the, I guess they call it Ag, or the hospital across from the county hospital. I think the health department. Health department.
Oh, across from
county health hospital.
Yeah, right down over the hill.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, you park in the parking lot and go in under the building, and there's a conference room off to the right.
Right. Just happens on all the
Since Mr. Jones's report is going to continue for a few more items, are there any questions by board members on the CSDA news or the potential GMA plan elements? Any questions? Any audience questions or concerns?
Sure.
Okay.
Michael. Yeah, well, I'm trying to do it. I got a hold of our had a conversation with the greenhouse owners and ask them after next meeting or have a meeting for them to get together and we'll sit down and discuss this matter.
Yeah.
And I'll be sending out a letter to all the mutual water companies.
Okay. Sounds good. Okay, we'll continue on, I guess, with item number three.
The district was approached by Mr. Jim Bracken of a possible developing a demonstration project to treat pumping septic from septic tanks from chemical toilets. His proposal is attached, and what he's trying to do is take the septic tank pumpies and chemical toilets and process them through a process where the end product is pure water and mulch, and he indicates in his proposal that this might be ideal for the greenhouse people who are supplementing their production, or I guess the mulch that he has experimented with is very fertile.
I bet.
And so I told him I need some more information, but I'm just bringing some board for him. He's probably, I asked him for what type of plot and kind of layout type thing. And he's made contact with the Regional Water Quality Control Board. In fact, he talked to them initially, and they suggested talking to the district in the aspect of having a demonstration project done.
Okay, he's talking about 120 days, it says in here.
Yeah, it's really a short period of time.
First of all, he's going to have to give us some more information on what his total dumping is going to be. Would this be an isolated area of an existing pond he wants to use, or just on our property?
It's just on the property, just an open area.
So it's 20 feet by 80 feet and adjacent to what our ponds now is a dumping area for septic trucks.
Right, if it's anything, he will not be dumping anything to our ponds. He's just using the site to process the waste.
And he couldn't. And the reason he needs us is because he needs a certain license or operating fee to do this demonstration. He doesn't do it by himself.
Well, he needs a site to do it in. And I think this area here, I guess, location with pumpers, septic tank pumpers, and chemical toilet dumping.
Okay.
I'll make a little comment on this, too. All right to jump in here?
Yeah, jump in. It's a free-for-all.
How many people have septic tanks? You got a septic tank? You got one.
Yeah.
You got one.
Parents got one.
Yeah, and we've had them for 30 years, I've had them. And Sorys, who we just approved this thing in here, used to pump them. I think his kids still pump them. There's a variety of others that pump them. And they spread this stuff out on the ground.
Not anymore. Mr. Wallace over here used
it. Yeah, they used to spread it on the ground.
Yeah.
So what are they doing with it now?
The regional board stopped it.
What do they do with it?
I guess they haul it to Tasmania or someplace.
Huh.
Or they dump it in a Santa Maria plant.
Well, why did they... What, the sewer plant in Santa Maria?
Roger Green said that's why the fees have gone up now. It used to be around $100 now. Then they went up to $175 and they were trying to get $200 for causing additional fees at the county, getting rid of that stuff, and now they have to take it into San Maria.
Wow.
See, now,
Here's the problem with this kind of stuff. That was fine for 20 some years, and it's still fine. It aerates it. There's no problem. There's never been a health problem out there. And the thing is, we get the benefit of the groundwater. Every one of those trucks goes out there, dumps 2,000 gallons of water, very little sludge and a heck of a lot of water, and they dump it out there on the mesa. It percolates down into our water table. So we get the benefit of that.
Also, you get the benefit of the nitrate getting the groundwater there.
Well, that may be too, then.
Is that part
of... That's the problem with the regional board. They see the nitrate increasing in the groundwater.
So now what? The nitrates go to Santa Maria, they get the benefit of the nitrates and the water?
Well, if you go through a treatment process, usually you change the nitrates into nitrates and some other process work.
As part of meeting that EPA, was it Article 503,
right.
Is that as part of that nitrate reduction
I
guess other aspects?
I don't know what it is, but...
503 is a whole host of contaminant levels that the federal EPA has set out that are acceptable levels for wastewater treatment.
Yeah. So he's proposing that he leases a piece of our property for X number of months, and then I guess he needs septage dumpers to participate in this.
He's running them up.
So he's going to charge them a fee for dumping there probably, and then pay us a fee for using the property.
He gonna take
We're in effect in business with him, right? I don't know if that's good or bad, but is that technically true?
That's technically true. I just want to point out, number one is that, as you pointed out, this agreement has to be tightened up in a lot of aspects. So this is just coming before the board.
Yeah, that's why I'm asking questions.
Yeah, and number two is that it's not really uncommon for public agencies to participate with private enterprise in developing maybe some technology that may be useful, you know, throughout the country or throughout the state. It happens on a regular basis, so you shouldn't be concerned about the legality. It's an ongoing and occurring basis.
Right. Okay. In Marion County, I know because one of my friends owns three sewer trucks, so I don't know how they do it here, but in Marion County now, when they pump your septic tank, they take it to the sewer plant.
That's quite common.
And they feed it right into the sewer plant. And the sewer plant charges a fee for this. Okay? And the sewer plant gets the benefit of the water and it goes through the sewer. Now, can we process that or not?
Well, possibly if this thing is successful, we might be able to set up something.
What about if we build a bigger ponding area and just put it in, to have them just dump it directly into our ponds and charge the fee for that?
Well, the problem is when you have aeration ponds, they're very susceptible to being upset. And when you get chemical products going in there, it might upset the pond.
What about septic tanks?
Well, here again, it's a high concentration. Where a full-blown sewer plant, actually a sludge plant, can handle the top load much better than a pond.
Okay, I'm just asking questions. Because I've seen them do it in Marin County, and I know that they do charge a fee there. I figure if somebody's going to get the fee, we ought to get the fee. But I don't like the idea that the public, because I'm part of the public too, so it's Katie, that we're all paying three or four fees to four different people. I could probably afford to have my septic tank pumped, but there's going to be a lot of people that are going to let them run over because they can't afford what's going to amount to $300 to pump.
Well, you know, here again, I see a benefit, as mentioned, of participating in recycling materials, but also if it's successful, maybe the district could put something in, start to see, and
yeah.
Pay for the cost of the process and benefit people from hauling all the way down to Santa Maria, therefore reducing air pollution, tire wear, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, plus we're out there on the...
We obviously need to entertain some type of a volume restriction on dumping,
well,
too,
yeah.
During the project, during the demonstration tests, and thereafter, the business.
Well, yeah.
Well, that's why I wondered if our plant can handle that, because I know a regular sewer plant, that's a little different. You just open up, they got a big place where you just... dump it in and it goes in and it's treated like everything else.
I think he's more looking for a site instead of a place for disposal.
Okay.
And basically the disposal is the liquid and the mulch being created would be exported off to other areas, and I assume that the water there would probably be a high nitrate type of water for plant growth, like a fertilizer, a liquid fertilizer. Because you're not getting that type of volume in this pumping system.
Any other directors have questions or comments?
Mm-hmm.
Thank
We can put out a blacklight on that nine hole.
Our name?
Yeah, right out there by the street. Say, bring your sewer
side. Right. That'll go over very big.
Put some petunias.
You know, there is a Lost Virgin East Water Department, Water District, not a district, it's a water company. Lost Virgin East is the area where they are, and they make a ton of money with sludge. They somehow found the magic way to get around all of the programs in terms of are against it, and they do a very good job with flower and coral growers and wheat growers and corn growers and a lot of other growers. Yeah. And golf courses too.
The city, I think the city of Milwaukee was one of the first ones to reprocess sludge, and they call it Milwaukee Night.
Milorganite.
And they bag it and sell it.
But the one of the thing with that, you cannot put that on any vegetable crops or anything. It's just for lawns. I think that's all. Not to be put on for any
consumer. There's dozens of products that are made from sludge, and we've been using them for 6 years. But this doesn't sound like it's going to be any of an impact.
The legally term correct term of art is biofilm.
So anyway, it's brought to the board for review and comment. You can start thinking about it, and we'll try and legal counsel to tighten up a little bit to get more input from the proposal.
Yeah, his timeline is kind of tomorrow.
Well, it's going to be set back then.
Okay. He's not pounding on the door or whatever. I don't see any big problems with it. On the surface, it sounds like something we ought to explore at least. Any public comments or questions? Yeah, Mr. K.
What is the county? Are they going to be riding herd on this because they referred this man to the district when they had this test or whatever it is?
I think
the county's going to be kind of watching the house.
The county will not probably be. The Regional Water Quality Control Board will probably.
I mean, it's whoever's regulatory.
And they point in our direction.
Are they going to be watching this? Because they're not just going to let this head over to you and let you go with it.
Right. I think, he does need a permit. Basically, he's talking to the board because he's on our property. I think that he'll probably come up with a report that the regional board will probably want to be interested in looking at and maybe give their blessing to that speculation.
See, the other thing they do in Marin County, too, which I don't particularly agree with, is that's what they do. They force people to pump their septic tanks, I think, every 2 or 3 years.
Well, then they have to fix the tank.
They charge them a septic tank tax.
It's a maintenance issue. It's quite common up here. I think Stenson Beach has one also.
Yeah, well, they have problems with percolation because the tides in a lot of those places, when it rains, and they get a lot of rain, and between that and the tides, a lot of it's below the water level, and it just fills it up, and then it just, you have to go out there and pump it. I've been out to Stenson Beach doing it. My friends, I know it's bad.
Okay.
Next thing, there was a small claims action proposed for last Friday. Go ahead. The judge postponed until or disqualified himself and postponed until this coming Friday. And so the judge will be going to small claims court Friday morning on this action. And basically, it's a leach line on the waterliner. What is it,
on the right-of-way of the
railroad. Yeah, that paper street up there. Frisco Road or?
Oh, that's
Frisco Road.
Frisco Way.
The contractor cut a single leach line and negotiated with the property owner, and they agreed, we have a signed agreement that we would replace the leach line, the property owner expand his septic tank out. But then Peggy Cecil, 1% owner of the then contacted the district, said we ought to replace the whole thing, and we reviewed the situation, and the district did everything proper, and so she filed an action, and which there's some timeline limits. Normally, you have to do it within 6 months. It's been over a year, I believe it is, and so there's a fair amount of things that she didn't comply with properly. These will all be discussed at the court.
Plus, the engineer has now determined that the diesel is not on the diesel property.
sign right away.
So, Mr. Jones, since that's small claim, you have to go in solo, huh?
No earpiece or anything.
He's undefeated, too. That's the scary part about it. Every time he goes up there, he's putting his record on the line for small claims.
He's over two for a fall.
Well, they may have to split that property with ATF or somebody like that, anyhow.
Next time, we staff put together our draft request for qualifications to do a water and sewer rate study, and after discussing around it, which is presented to you, we feel instead of going out with a qualification and then going out with an RFP, we might just go out with the RFP right off the bat and eliminate one step. Normally, you go out with a request for a qualification to a number of companies and then look over their qualifications and select a number of them and put on an RFP. We've identified about 8 companies, and I think that's a small enough standard that we could probably just send out our request for a proposal.
I think so. I read through the RFP. It sounds pretty good. Have you added or subtracted anything to it since this draft?
No.
Okay.
What are those people doing we heard about 3 or 4 months ago?
They're doing
$1,000.
The water and master plan.
They're not into rate study?
Oh, well, we'll send them a copy of rate study if they wish to do it. It's a separate item. It's more of a financial review of the district. And
would it be better to have them, if they're going to do it?
Well, we have a list of
anything. I figured for $55,000 we were going to get something like that. It says master plan. I kind of assumed that water rate study was master plan.
We'd send them a proposal.
The master plan looks more like an engineering feasibility study.
I know, but I mean, I'm not paying any rates in the district, but I know when the customers out there, when you see rate study, they, you know, their little wheels are going up. You know, the rates are going to go up, and then you spend $55,000 to see if they're going to go up. You almost have to raise them just to cover the cost of the money you spent to see if they're going to raise them.
Well, it's interesting, as people have a copy of the newsletter, that rates only increased twice within the 30-year history of the district.
Those people don't remember.
Well, we're reminding them of it.
I know, I understand that, but they only remember what, you know, what's going to happen next.
It's fair to assume that if they've done this kind of work before, they're going to know our definition of capacity charge and that type of thing. We don't have to provide definitions of terms there. Right?
Yeah, most of these people have done that. So, like I say, it's the board's interested in that. The firms will probably be sending it out there.
The only thing that I noticed when I was reading the RFP is that you have to have a pretty good knowledge of water and sewer, a real good knowledge of water and sewer operations to understand every element of it. And I assume the companies were looking for
have done this stuff before.
Right, okay.
And any other comments on that? And then the last thing is the county white paper position on the property tax exchange for annexation. And this was basically precipitated by the Newdall annexation before the county, which is roughly a 10-acre parcel at the intersection of Hazel Lane and Tef Street. And initially, we were going on with the standard exchange someplace around 7-8%. Difference, and then the county came in and said, well, they're taking a very narrow point of view of activity, saying we're an enterprise fund, so therefore we just operate water and sewer, and therefore we don't need any taxes, and so the county will take all the taxes because they need to support their welfare program and other things. And the district position is that's a narrow point of view, that we do other activities besides just water and sewer. I spend sometimes 10 to 20% of my time just work on county business and answering questions that the county should be involved in, because a lot of people go up the county and they can't get answers. They come back down here and we assist them in that way. So we're doing more than just water and sewer.
Who wrote the position paper, John?
Well, I suspect that it was administrative. Somebody in Paul Hood or Bob Hendricks probably collaborated.
Okay. I know it was on your fact header, but it's just...
Right, I got it. What happened there is, we have a real good working relationship with the government and center over there, and when this white paper came out, I went over and got the disk, put it in our computer fax machine so that we could just fax it out to all the agencies that would be impacted by this. But I might also point out that property taxes have traditionally gone towards services, too. It's not always, you know, this enterprise funding concept that the county is coming up with is a new philosophy starting with this white paper. So it's, I don't think the board should be thinking that it's inappropriate for property taxes to go up for services, because traditionally that has been one of the elements of property taxes. And, you know,
well, when the district was first formed, it was just primary for water services, and they established their tax rate. They had their own tax rate prior to Prop 13. And the board of directors either raised or lowered it as they needed.
Fair to assume all the property tax negotiations would start at zero from the county.
But the county's position is, as it stands right now, there's been a lot of unrest amongst all agencies, including cities and special districts, about this white paper. You might have seen in the paper where all the mayors met in Morro Bay, all city councils, met in Morro Bay to review this this very issue. What the county is under some economic stress, at least that's the background from their point of view. And what they're basically trying to say is that certain services should be enterprise funded, and certain services may have some property tax donations or contributions to it. But as it stands right now, they're saying like water and sewer are definitely going to be enterprise funded. The question of whether or not transportation is going to be enterprise funded, like the county's bus system or a lot of their things, all their little programs, but that's basically going to be worked out. I know the mayors, the city council voted to form a task force to negotiate with the county. The Special Districts Association is will be meeting after the Jack O'Connell thing to review their united position on the new county position. But that's basically how it's rolling together. I guess the real issue here, or one of the real issues, is it's kind of a unilateral negotiation. I mean, the county didn't come to the districts or the cities and said, let's talk about this economic issues. They came out with a white paper and said, here you are, you know.
Well, you could see that coming, because you can hear that verbally.
Oh, sure. It's not, I think people thought it would be coming for a while, but it's now here.
Yeah, I talked to him, Mr. Hood, and on this one small annexation, and we discussed and brainstormed, and I thought we had something pretty well worked out, and he went to his boss and he called me back about half hour later and said, he just told me zero tax, period.
Who's his boss?
He said Lee Williams. I think I've never heard of the gentleman before. I thought it was Hendricks.
I thought it was Lawrence.
But, one thing, they're getting pushed economically, and...
It's their fault.
Well, yeah, but you look at it in the business sense, okay? The county has a 10-acre parcel out there that with zero taxes, there's no incentive for the district to annex it or anything else. There's no great benefit tax-wise. And so the county gets 100% of 10 parcels, basically. Or if they annex the district, they could break it down to 4 or 5 parcels per acre. Instead of the county getting 100% of 10 parcels, they'd probably get 93% of 40 parcels. And without doing the revenue or the math on it, you're going to get a lot more revenue with 40 parcels, 97% of it, than 100% of 10 parcels. Very simple. And if they're looking for economic problems, they should encourage annexation because it raises their base. But, they can come back to, the taxes don't support it. Taxes have never supported such activities. But they're definitely a greater revenue base that way. Because you get more people in there, spend more money, create more taxes, sales taxes, you think, although it creates more services. But you have to go leaps and bounds with respect to services. There's been numerous studies about populations and services requests. And so, looking at it as a business sense, it seems like they're just barking up the wrong tree. And there may be an underlying aspect of this whole thing is the growth issue. Eventually, economics, well, you're seeing now, anytime you have a minimum growth or something or no growth, the economics catches up with that community.
You have to have 5% growth to keep your own children in your own area. I mean, that's why two of my girls who have been over in Las Vegas this weekend looking for jobs. We have had two $5 billion projects proposed for property we own that have been just turned down flat by the county, which would have raised my property tax from $1,500 a year to over $50,000 a year, and they're telling me they're broke. I don't have too much sympathy for them. They've lost probably $200,000 in property tax just by saying, without even looking, they didn't even want to look at the project that we got in mind.
Well, I think the RFP brought in.
That's what it's saying. And most communities finance a little bit of their public service with growth. You have to have at least a little bit of growth and get a little bit of revenue. Otherwise, you have bond issues and tax assessments like they're doing out there in Eucalyptus. I mean, it's pretty hard to go out to those people and say, hey, you're going to pony up $11,000 for a road, and then they're turning me down for a couple hundred thousand dollars worth of tax money, not to mention bed tax and everything else they're going to get.
Well, I think this district's a prime example.
I don't feel sorry for them.
In sewer fees, I mean, because of the growth issues, the sewer fees have not been raised. When the auditor came in in 1991, he said the rates have been, $21 per connection. But at the time we got to it, it basically broke even at 16. And mainly because you spread your user base out. And if you don't do that, then you're looking at jack-up rates. It's a combination.
Is there any public comments on, we didn't really go to the public on the rate study or the tax exchange. Any questions or comments regarding potential rate study or property tax exchange? More board questions?
We going to hold out to say we want a piece of the tax?
Yeah, we have been.
Because usually when they screw things up so bad, like the sewer district or whatever it is, then they give it back to us. Isn't that what they've been? I mean, I haven't been on this board a very long time, but I've noticed that lighting districts and some other things that they really get messed up. And then we take them over, and we give the taxpayer a better rate because we do it more efficiently, run it better, and it costs them less money. So, but that's basically what's happened with everything we've taken over. We've run it better, you know, and we're not screaming, gee, we're broke. I mean, we're doing something wrong. No, but they're doing something wrong, and we must be doing something right. I mean, that's kind of wrong.
That's all heaven.
Okay.
Part of ours has been growth too.
Yeah. But we haven't had the benefit of either. They like the bus thing. I'd like to see us get our $43,000 back that they took for that bus. I've never seen that bus come to South County. No, I've been watching for it. I go out there and sit and watch the buses when they come on the route. We get diesel buses here. That's all we get. I've never seen that propane bus come down here that we paid $42,000 for. And then in the paper the other night, there was something they wanted some money for bike trails around the school or around somewhere. That's where the $42,000 should have went. That's what we wanted it for. Now they're telling us they can't find the money for that, but they got our bus money. I think they owe us $42,000.
We didn't have a choice in that.
I know, but
we just expressed our opinion.
Right, but they're giving us all the growth, and they're taking our money and spending it somewhere else. I don't think that's right. That's what I feel about it.
We might as well skip the direct comments because move on to item number 7. Go ahead.
Okay.
Let's quickly go to the board with director's comments, and then I'll get right to you. Is there anything directors have to add to item number 7 now?
Okay,
I just have one thing. I was contacted by Mid-State Bank representative Connie G. talks so fast I never catch her last name. I've talked to her two or three times. Wanted to get the board's feel again on our membership in the Chamber of Commerce. I remember this coming up at one of our meetings maybe a little over a year ago, and we decided not to be members, but I don't recall the rationale at the time.
What's your cost for membership?
Oh, it's something like $75 or $100 a year for membership, but had you given that any thought,
Is there any legal problem? No, I would agree. It's a policy by the board.
Yeah.
For the agenda for the next meeting.
Well, let's just go home with that in your head and just give it some thought, and we'll put it on the agenda maybe for the next meeting.
I told her, talk to the board member, write me a letter, and I'll put it on the agenda.
Yeah.
Why don't we give up our Costco membership and put that towards the membership for the
Costco saves money.
Don't you dare give up our Costco.
I don't think the board members should have membership for Costco.
Why not?
Why?
Fringe benefits.
I think it'd be better spent, in the Chamber of Commerce. Really do.
I paid for my last time.
I turned it down if anyone remembers, if it goes on the record. I've got my own too, but I just didn't feel that they, I didn't feel that was really, too slick of use of money.
I agree with what we're saying.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm an ambassador to the Chamber of Commerce. I'll just like mention for the consideration that the Chamber does not take any political position with regard to any issues of politics, etc. So if that's something you might be thinking about, I'll see if you can bring yourself with that.
I wanted to ask Doug on this pipeline's coming. You can see it laying out there on the field. Boy, I went out, fell out of the car the other morning.
It's impressive.
Yeah, 44 inches. I think it should have been 60 inches, and they downsized it because we didn't take enough whatever we had. But anyhow, it's a 44-inch pipe. Now, is there going to be some kind of backflow, or not backflow, but pop-off air back device?
They have them numerous devices. I think every 2,500 feet there's
one. I'm going to go into our district yard as it goes through.
It goes right to the middle of our wastewater plant. Yes.
Is one of those air packs going to be there? Because that's pretty.
There is an inspection port within the district wastewater facility. 24-inch port. At least the preliminary plant I saw. And every 2,500, they have one of those because they have to go in and inspect the pipe on the inside. And there are be numerous blow-offs and air valves in the system.
I'd like to see something like that on our just happen to appear.
I've been working on it.
Yeah, cool.
Is there any progress at all in terms of the valve that you were looking for?
We need Bob's conversion on the board of directors.
Without approval from the flood control district, we're not moving forward at all. I looked at the construction drawings, and there's numerous outlets on the pipeline that we could tap into if we had to.
At another time.
No.
Well, see, Roy Grady, there was something that I tried to find out what this was, and I only caught a piece of it on the radio because I got in the middle. But Roy Grady now, looking at state water because it's only $700 an acre feet, and something from Nacimiento or some other place. I don't know why they want Nacimiento water. They got that dam.
San Luis is looking at it.
Oh.
Well, I read that was in a newspaper that staff had it on their agenda as part of the water future.
But whether people agree about state water or disagree about state water, that 44-inch pipe is coming, and life is never going to be the same again. Anyway. It's going right down Thompson Avenue. And whether whoever likes it, doesn't like it, or whatever they like, that is going to change things. And
how deep do they bury that?
About 10 feet.
Probably for some people, not deep enough. But it's going to bring a lot of water, and if we have some kind of emergency, that's the only place we're going to be able to look for it.
Yeah, there's a bunch. The problem is, you have and John can go into further. There's all kinds of state water available, or water available in that pipeline. It's through weeding water, buying it, trading it, whatever you need to do. But you need the turnout to do that. And so without the turnout, you're lost, certainly. And to get any water out of that pipeline, it probably is associated with state water, and you probably have to go back to a referendum to vote to overturn the referendum.
If we really wanted to, though, we could put in a turnout, couldn't we?
Not without
voter approval.
You could put a turnout in, but it would be useless without the Pleasant Grove District approval to use. And if you did that.
But it would still be in there in case something happened where we.
Yeah, but you'd open yourself up to certain litigation.
I know that if something happens, earthquake or something, people are going to be screaming, where's the water? And that's the first place they're going to look. And something might happen. And I'm not looking to hook up with it to give everybody water, but I think it's like a fire plug out there. I mean, somehow, some way, we need to get some kind of.
Well, if you can get the turnout proper, I could get at least 1,500 acre feet of water permit supply with capacity on that right now. And I could get a temporary water supply for at least 20 years.
Engineering is not a problem, it's a legal procedure that
right. I think there's some way we ought to see if we can either get something on the ballot and educate the public that they really that this isn't state water. I mean, that's state water is gone. It's history. Whatever's in that pipe is not state water. That's 15 kinds of other water, and if this water something happens to it, that's the only water they've got.
If you want to put. Maybe put on the ballot saying that you're requesting the Pleasant Grove District to put an emergency turnout in line for future water for the district.
Yeah, but the pipe's coming like now.
Well, that's good because it's so fresh in your mind because the time it gets through here.
Oh, really? And then how long is it going to be before it gets here? They're just putting this section in here, but they have to hook other sections up to get it.
Right.
They want to jack, I'd say within the next 30, 60 days, they want to start jacking into freeway by ourselves.
I think what Doug is talking about is that there's basically three opportunities to put in a turnout with varying degrees of cost. One, of course, is to have it incorporated into the plan when they do it. I think that's Katie by the door. I mean, that's not going to happen. We can't get it on the ballot fast enough to get it turned around and get the engineering. The second time is to put it in, which cuts costs a little bit, is to put it in when the pipe is dry. There may be a chance at that, but that would be something. And the third one, of course, is putting it in when the pipe is loaded, when it's actually transporting water.
That's going to be very expensive.
The number two and number three aren't that significantly different, but there's two things that the board should be aware of. The County Board of Supervisors, which is the flood control, has stated categorically at this time that without a election or voter approval, there will be no turnout, period. And, of course, if you get the voter approval, you could go ahead and get the turnout in state water. So the way it's
supplemental water,
however you want to phrase it. That's basically what it would take for.
I think the ratepayers got it. Be educated to know that if we run out of water, we're going to have to buy water someplace. I mean, or get water someplace, and their rates are going to go up. And if it costs us $500,000 or whatever to hook into this thing 2 years from now, rather opposed to $75,000 today, they're going to pay for it. I mean, there's no free lunch in this thing. I mean, now's the time somebody should be looking at it. That's just maybe I'm belaboring this, but.
Well, that's exactly what you're doing, isn't it? You're looking at it.
Yeah.
You're trying to get it to get the permit and so on and so forth.
Well, we can't do anything unless another vote comes about to either from the people say, yes, we want an emergency turnout, or we want to look and see if we can get a supplemental water supply and use the state pipeline as a conveyance mechanism to get the water here.
That's what you learned when you investigated it. Three or four months ago.
Right, and then when we went to the board, the flood control district, we asked for emergency turnout, we were denied.
Yeah.
and their rationale is that the district board is downstate water, and the object is having an emergency backup supply. CDF, unfortunately, we contacted them later. They were all for the turnout because of the emergency aspects of it, and that's what it was for. The Nipomo Valley Mutual Water Company has a better political clout than we do, and they got approval for a turnout. Maybe we ought to negotiate with them. But, you know, you still have the overlying fact that if it's coming down the pipeline, people will surmise that it's state water, and therefore they vote against it. You know, there's a political thing there that needs to be overcome.
Well, that's what I'm saying. We need the press. Eventually, we got to get the press or somebody in this, even, you know, whatever press. I'd be willing to, you know, we get some TV time or something and let people know that their water rates are going to go up astronomically, or something's going to happen astronomically if we have a disaster and we're not hooked up so that we can get access to that pipeline. I mean, there is no Lake Nipomo, no Nipomo River. All these other communities have lakes, rivers, and reservoirs. We don't have any of that stuff. The only thing we've got is this wonderful pipeline that's going through the middle of our place. If we can't access it in case of emergency, that's, you know, to me, that's not too bright. And the people that are stopping us don't even live in this community.
The original vote was not really a...
It wasn't very many people. It wasn't representative either.
Yeah, it was. Statistically, it was. But that's for the statisticians to solve. But if you get 10% sample, we have more than that.
Right.
But the point is that the first time it was tried to be sold to the voters, we brought up every issue you just brought up.
Yeah, but
every issue was brought up over a 2-year period.
On the other hand, at that time,
let me speak.
People that were just really out of the concept of state water,
right.
They didn't want it to happen at all. They didn't feel that the state would follow through with actually providing it. And you might have a better chance now that you don't have that type of inflamed rhetoric and inflamed passion in regard to the whole concept of state water. And the fact that physically you can see the pipes here, I think it might get home a little bit.
They figure they can stop it, and there's no stopping it now. It's in there.
A very good point. I mean, when people see a pipeline going down, I mean, you see it laying out there.
Right, it's laying out there.
And it goes right by your house. How come we're not getting any water out of it? And that's exactly the point.
Well, that wasn't voted down for that reason, or is it? What happens is that they were stopping it for a growth issue, making it a growth issue, saying that if you have more water, then you're going to have more growth.
At a cost.
So they
were afraid of the cost.
They figured the growth should only...
Those are two things that need to be addressed.
...reach the point of the amount of water we
have.
But
what I was trying to get to was the first time around, we didn't push to have an emergency use only.
Right.
And for that purpose, more so than any other, it may go a second time around.
Right. I mean, we're not a contractor, so therefore...
The sink and how you present it, and very accurate, and don't fill them with a lot of... hyperbole, and just say we need this for this reason, for emergency purposes only.
And
circumstances are different now.
And includes the fire department issue.
The county had that hearing the day that the fire department was in Los Angeles, because the day after the hearing, I went and talked to the chief of the fire department and all those people. And that's why we, one of the reasons why we got the letter. I wasn't even on the board there. I was up in his office the next day saying, why weren't you guys jumping up and down for this? And he said, we weren't there. They did it while we were in Los Angeles. And Blakely and those people put in a whole group of people that were anti-state water, just what she said. They wanted to stop the pipeline. They didn't care. They don't care about us, whether we run out of water.
Everyone spoke up here was not in the district office.
Right. They were just paid people. They scared all the people, saying, your rates are going to go up. Well, they're going to go up all right. We don't get some kind of supplemental water.
One of them was a paid lobbyist.
Yeah, they weren't Nipomo people.
What should be in the paper?
No, I think the pipeline's laying out there. We ought to get it on the ballot or something and say, hey, you know, give them some pros and cons.
The way to address it is to start working on some wording for a ballot measure.
There you go.
Okay. Well, address it from an emergency standpoint.
I'll look into the election timetable and see what, you know, the timetables are, and then come back to the board.
when is the last time, when do we have to have it, the deadline for the to get it on the ballot?
Well, like she said, that Monday is the last time for March election. We have to wait for the November.
Which, this coming Monday?
Let me talk to the election office. I remember having that sheet down here. Maybe we ought to take that sheet up on that election time, too.
I think we ought to put it on there. Even if it loses, we gave it a shot. And then if there's a disaster, people can't come back and say, you people didn't do anything. We gave, say, hey, at least we tried.
Except that's counterintuitive to an emergency purpose for the hookup.
I know.
If that's immediately says we're in bed with a golf complex.
Well, I think
that's not the message we want to send.
No, and I would agree with that, but I think that that's certainly a reality that the community is already well aware of, that some of the golf courses are paying. And I've heard people say that, well, what about the water? These people are really concerned about, they don't understand the concept of where all this water is coming from the city region. They don't care about the golf courses, and that's what they're concerned about. Personally, I really like the idea of having a golf course. I'd much rather have that type of usage than an industrial golf course.
I think too that this time there's a lot more people involved in the district itself. For example, all of Black Lake, there's 500 homes approximately out there now. They didn't have a vote at that time, but this time they would have a vote.
Some
and that makes
too.
A tremendous difference. And other acquisitions such as Summit Station and so on and so forth, these are all supportive opportunities for the program. And in terms of the golf, I totally agree with you. I think that would be the best way to accentuate the growth of this area. It would be very fiscal rewarding, in my opinion, and would create a lot of opportunity for other types of growth later on. After we're gone, they're still going to be talking growth. There's no doubt about it.
Well, I mean, prime example, Goleta. You know, they ran out of water and everything else. And without water, we're not going to grow. Goleta grew anyway.
Yeah.
Prime example.
Yeah.
That's the logic people use.
And then they built a desal plant that they didn't need.
That's Santa Barbara. I'm talking about.
Well, Goleta. Yeah, but still, they built a desal plant they didn't need. Morro Bay's built one that they didn't need, and those people are paying higher water rates than anybody else. If we don't get a chunk of this pipeline, we're going to have to look at something like that. And right now, that is not cheaper than supplemental water. See, I changed my tone.
Well, I'll look in, you know, if the timetable's gone, maybe, I don't know if the elections will waive it or not, but...
Maybe we can get something together and get it on a ballot.
Yeah, and then you develop, at least you get on the ballot, then you can develop your arguments later on.
Right. Because I think when they look out there and see that pipe, they say, hey, now's the time.
Well, and now is an opportunity, too, with your newsletter. You could put out a special edition addressed to all of the people that would not have received one previously and asking for their support.
Well, we
there may be some issues. There may be some issues on.
I'm sorry.
Maybe some issues on the district campaigning. I'd have to take a look at that.
Yeah, we have to play a neutral role.
Well, we're neutral. We want it.
Well, I'll write some articles for the paper if they get published. My garbage article only got published in a Citizen. Didn't make it. So definitely try something.
So, this proposed election that has to carry in the district? Just the district?
That's right.
District resident. And then when that turned out, that's binding, that forces the Flexmobile District to go along with it?
It would have a major impact on Flexmobile District, allowing us for emergency turnouts. But I'm sure the present makeup of the Board of Directors of the Flexmobile District, they would probably have a very tight agreement saying, yeah, we'll allow you to turn out, but you can't get any water unless it's emergency. No other type of water can come out of there.
That's speculation.
The political thing's going to change in 96.
Well, do you have to approach it totally as an emergency measure?
No.
I mean, it just makes sense. It shouldn't have to be an emergency. It should be ready for it. Any eventuality.
Emergency or these?
If the board has a consensus here, why don't you direct staff to put it on the next agenda for a public hearing to see what comes out of it. You need to adopt. I'm just wondering, the timing, we may not be able to get on the March election, but the way you do it is you get to do it by a board-directed initiative, which would require a resolution to place it on the agenda and stuff, so we need to come back at the next board meeting.
Can we ask the election people if they'll give us some kind
sure.
of...
Sure, I plan to.
So this is to establish a public hearing for consideration of adding a measure to the ballot.
That's basically what it would be
regarding
emergency turnout.
There may be some notice requirements that would be involved in that, too. I have to take a look at several aspects of it.
Okay, are we going to make a notice of public hearing in the paper and do all this stuff?
Well, I just think that the action would be is to would be direct staff to place it on the agenda to take all appropriate steps that are required. Now, I have no idea at this time what all the notice requirements would be to have a board-directed initiative on me. The other thing that you'd want is you'd want a cost analysis, too, of what it would be to put it on the on the ballot.
Maybe we could get a cost analysis too of what it will cost us, like if we got it now, like the turn off now, and what it would cost us later.
I think the difference in the cost is not that great, according to CCWA.
We already appropriated the money for it once, didn't we?
We budgeted $75,000
one time.
Yeah.
That was a fine. Essentially,
shut down on it. But CCWA has been talking to the Southern California Water Company, and they're interested to get the turnout. And you mentioned put one in now and later. There's the cost difference is not great. The difference of put in now and put in later.
What is your opinion if it's not that great?
Well, it is cheaper to put it in now.
Yeah.
It's just for the change order and the contract is here, and then going back and cleaning up.
Difference of not that great means what? 3,000? 10,000?
That's just.
No.
These last 3 days it's been warm. My little tank has dropped considerably. And I get down so far, I'm wondering whether I'm going to still take a shower or have enough to wash clothes.
Hey, but you have district water available.
I understand that, but I am probably more cognizant of this water than some people. A lot of these people don't run out there and look in their tank every morning still and see whether they've got enough water to do whatever they want to do. And I go by and see this 44-inch pipeline laying out there on the ground, knowing that could maybe give some relief or something if I go completely out of water, because if I'm out of water, it's other people.
And
it's just the idea that maybe I know I belabor this, but I'm more cognizant of some because I keep in a tank.
CCWA was
hate.
We're trying to get a working relationship with the pipeline through our plant and everything else. They were telling me that the state, the town of Shandon, they contract for 100 acre feet of water, and their turnout to get their 100 acre feet of water is a 2 inch turnout. And they had a round vault that we wanted to take in. No, you need to do the standard vault. It's a 7x14 vault that's put in. And the cost is just skyrocketing because of that vault for 2 inch turnout. And so by dealing with CCWA, I think they're a little more practical sometimes than DWR.
Well, now, what kind of motion? Do you want to make a motion?
Just to put it on the agenda for the next meeting.
Okay. I'll make a motion that we put this emergency turnoff of the state water pipe on the agenda for the next meeting. And staff do whatever they're supposed to do to ensure the state water.
Okay. Got a motion by Director Blair. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Okay, and a second by Director Fairbanks. All directors in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Nobody's opposed. Okay, so do whatever kind of background work you have to do and investigate getting a ballot measure on there. We'll talk about it at the next meeting. We went kind of in and out of directors and public comments, so I'll allow some more public comments. Do you have anything else you want to say or ask?
I think what I'll probably do is just briefly discuss AB 3030. They, according to George Gibson, they're aware of 3030. And I'll probably show kind of an outline of the proposed area in the formal maze of why that outline came about because of the local jurisdiction on both sides of it. And possible items for discussion would be something like this. Basically, it is requesting their support to the flood control district to support groundwater management in the county and in the bowl. Yes. No, it's public meeting. It's public meeting. And you know, in meeting with you know the county engineer, it's an advisory committee to the flood control district. And before the county engineer wants to get involved in this with the flood control engineer, they would like a confirmation from the advisory committee that yes, this is a good project to go forward. And that's basically the process. Just informing them what it is and requesting that their support of groundwater management within the county and supporting the district's ability to form a groundwater management agency for the benefit of all users.
So,
yes, that's the direction I received from the board is that Mr. the minister can look at. But is the general direction of the board that we should continue meeting with people and talking about it and the educational process, if anything coming up new is there's some certain fear associated with it. And the process now is saying, well, what is this agency, what does this do, Arendelle? That's the reason why I formed that outline saying, hey, this is some concept that can be included into a groundwater management agency. Each one is entirely different.
Before there be a lot of meetings, we talked to Mrs. Nelskow at the last meeting, and we were going to contact or be contacted by ag representatives and other people that Mrs. Nelskow made reference to, and try to discern their understanding of what our prior board position was. You know, the minutes were corrected to say that the board wouldn't consider a resolution of intention to form a groundwater management agency until basically the DWR report was out. And so we asked for further, Director Simon mentioned that that wasn't entirely his feelings on that matter, but that we corrected the minutes to match the tape exactly verbatim. And so, but you were going to talk to Mrs. Nelskow and some of the others out there to see if that was their understanding, you know, that there would be no further discussions until the DWR report was out. So I just want to be clear on it. I just want to crystal clear that we don't get too premature and get out there and do a lot of developing plans and meetings and things like that until we clarify. I stated at the last meeting I didn't think it was, you know, the intention of the majority of the dissension that that they didn't want to have it talked anymore. And I possibly spoke incorrectly because I was going by the number of messages that I've had on my phone by Casey Delby and Kim, forget his last name. I've had several people calling me from Greenhouse Association and whatnot, wanting to have these meetings and wanting to exchange information, and which was opposite of what some other people thought. And so I really wanted to pulse, you know, the community and figure out which way to go with this. I don't want to offend 70% of the audience by going forward with some meetings. I don't see the harm in developing an outline and at least have something for discussion materials.
Let me just read the motion so everybody's clear, because this was the tape motion that went back and was verbatim. It was, I move that we table further intent to plan a resolution. That's what that resolution was, an intent to plan.
A resolution
of intention until such time as additional meetings, which I think is what we're referring to here, and the DWR report is available. So I think that what we did is we went back and verbatim the motion. So the way I read the motion and the way I understand the motion is that additional meetings were contemplated as part of the motion that was made by Director Simons and voted on. So
that was my understanding.
There was not going to be a, according to this motion, there would be no further resolution of intention to form a groundwater management plan, which is basically what you call the sell at the racehorse, you know.
Starting the process.
Starting the process.
And I thought they were encouraged. With us, because I think that what we all expressed was that we would appreciate having this forum about the process, you know, with private meetings. And actually, we have on my group, the Pulling Up and Down to the Large Company, the Transmap City,
I think that's the kind of meeting that comes from the finance and the group and the process. And that's why I was calling. I don't know where I could have that. That would be my comment. Yeah, just for the Eastern Municipal Water District was formed, and had a very similar concept. I guess I'm going to try that. There's a very uproaring of the ag people, primary farmers in their community, and during the process of the meeting, about, I think, two-thirds of the way through, the farmers did 180 return, and they're pushing the district to go ahead and form the groundwater management agency, and the district was still trying to put it together, and the farmers started pushing them to do it. So they saw the benefits of it.
If I may say a couple words on this, the intent was to include additional meetings, but my intent in terms, and I perhaps didn't phrase it properly, my intent was to not have 80 people out here all screaming different things, but none of them making any progress toward what might ultimately happen. And my thoughts were to have meetings with four or five or two of the members from the board and four or five or 10 people from outside, and then let everybody have an opportunity to voice their opinion on what they think the program should be. But it, unfortunately, when you mentioned the DWR, as I recall, I had at that time planned to put in there, and it's my fault that I didn't, an or. And the or would simply be, if something improved immediately or in the near future, that we indeed do have an overdraft system, then we have to make haste and do our thing. I should have included that. I didn't include that.
I'll make a little comment on this, too. I want everybody to be perfectly clear that I'm against this, but I'm not against having meetings for it. You people on the board do not realize what an
explosive issue this is. This is basic property rights. I mean, the attorneys have said go forward, and if this gets in the courts of litigations, the attorneys will be jumping up and down, because the greenhouse people have also called me and told me that they got a $50 million industry, and they're not above budgeting whatever it takes to fight this thing if somebody comes out there and puts a meter on their well. I mean, this is... What I'm saying is this is a very emotional to some people, and a lot of people that live out towards the ocean, they haven't even become aware of this, and it's going to be very emotional to them. And I hope we do have the meeting so that we all understand what this is all about. I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with it, but I want to see that there's a lot of discussion on this thing so everybody knows exactly where we're going. I don't want to see any more.
We're going to have a lot of discussion.
Right. I'm all for the discussion.
It's not property rights. For one thing.
It's water rights, and that's property rights.
No, not specifically water rights either. But
once you get into, like he's saying, if we get into an overdraft situation, I want to see that 44-inch pipeline used, not somebody put a meter on my 2-inch well. That's the difference.
We are in an overdraft situation.
Well, then you better grab a hold of that 44-inch pipe instead of grabbing a hold of my 2-inch pipe or her 6-inch pipe, and that's what people are afraid of. And that's where it's going to be. And the next meeting, you're talking about 80 people jumping up and down. You're going to have a heck of a lot more than that. And I don't like meetings with two or three board members, because all this board doesn't look the same direction.
There's quite a few of these plans in place already, so obviously it can be done. These plans are in place.
Before I got elected to this board, but it doesn't mean that the board can't change in the next election.
It doesn't mean we can't make something.
You don't seem to realize what an issue this can be. It's a very explosive issue if you own property.
Well, I think that's
right.
Right. You don't want to be scared into not doing it.
Yeah, it's very difficult for anybody to have a meeting when people are screaming and making remarks about personal appearance that should never be part of a meeting like that. And that's what I objected to. And I think that if we can rise above that kind of level, I think then we can create this discourse between us that would be very valuable to all concerned.
But you're going to have to relax. Otherwise, we'll never reach above the level.
act so slowly. Nothing happens quick around here. Yes, Mr.
Jay. I have a few comments. One concerning all those state water seminars or whatever you want to call them for people in the FOMO back years ago. And Mr. Simon wants to hear about screening and what went on at that meeting. And he should have been there and he would have found out. I went to all of them. And it's all the same thing. You're outshouted by these other people and you couldn't get your point across. And it's going to be the same thing with this proposal by Mr. Jones on this, this turnout. People, the same people that were objecting to the safe water will think this is another way that Napoleon wants to get around that and wants to, they'll bring up the safe water issue again, even though it doesn't apply in supplemental water. They'll do that again. And the second item I wanted to bring up with Mr. Jones was I realized it must have been a high water usage weekend, last weekend, the pressure standpipe. Is that automated yet, or is that manually controlled?
Yeah, it is right now.
The pressure was very, very low Sunday.
Well, once it gets full automation, it will eliminate that.
When is that going to be? What year?
I say hopefully within the next 60 to 90 days.
We just lost our software consultant.
I know. That's what I was wondering.
You think 60 to 90 days, really?
Well, I can probably make
that'd be a great turnaround. Okay, can we have your name for the record, please?
Yeah,
Okay, do we need to go to a closed session?
Yes, we do.
Pursuant to.
We'll be going to closed session tonight. Pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9C, discuss one case regarding anticipated litigation.
Okay.
Do you have TV cameras?
Am I going to have TV cameras? No. Goodbye, Jack.
Okay.